عند من يعلم أنه مسبب الأسباب، وأشهد بوحدانيته شهادة مخلص في نيته غير مرتاب، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله وقد سدل الكفر على وجه الإيمان الحجاب، فأخرجهم من الظلام بنور الهدى وكشف النقاب، وبين للناس ما نزل إليهم وأوضح مشكلات الكتاب. فصلى الله عليه وعلى جميع الآل وكل الأصحاب وعلى التابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الحشر والحساب، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن في ذلك لآيات للمتوسمين. صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, truly in this there are signs for those who seek the signs. This is understood by the ulama to be a reference to the principle of wisdom, of inner sight, that the believer is gifted with as he seeks to understand the world. And most particularly it refers to a particular gift which is given to the believers in proportion to their iman, which is indicated in a famous hadith, رواه البخاري عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اتقوا فراسة المؤمن فإنه ينظر بنور الله تعالى. And Bukhari narrates on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of the firasa of the believer because he sees with the light of Allah. What is this firasa? The root has to do with ancient Arabian traditions of hunting. The prey of the lion is farisatu sab'. Tafarrus can mean a number of different things, and one of them, the original meaning, is seeking out something as a result of a long process of following its tracks in the desert, or perhaps in another context through the mountains, or perhaps if you're a fisherman over the surface of the sea looking for your prey which is beneath the waves. This firasa is to have a kind of intuition, a wisdom, the huntsman's instinct, the knack of hunting it down. But what is this firasatul mu'min of which this hadith speaks? Well, it's speaking specifically of our ability to perceive what people are actually like. And that is why we are warned about it. The Prophet ﷺ is not saying acquire it. This is not a virtue or a commandment. You can't acquire it because it's a consequence of iman. To the extent that we have iman, we are given this wisdom, this capacity to discern spirits. But we are told instead, the prophetic commandment is to beware of it. Watch out. Because the real believer can look into your heart and he can see things in you that you might want to keep concealed. Now, this commandment, which is about watching out for one of the consequences of iman, is followed by a kind of an explanation. How does the believer see? يَنْظُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. He sees with Allah's light. And what could that mean? Allah is نور السماوات والأرض, the light of the heavens and the earth. Without him, without that light, there is only darkness and chaos. And the function of humanity is to be the recipient of and the broadcaster of that light in a social context where there can also be chaos and darkness and ignorance. That is why Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referred to with so many names that indicate that he is a bringer of light. Siraj Munir, he is the lamp that brings light. And how is he celebrated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he comes to the blessed city of Medina? Tala al-Badru alayna, the full moon has risen over us. It was dark, we were fighting, we were bumping into each other in the dark, and now the full moon is giving us light and we can see. That is the function of prophecy, not to supply light, but to transmit the light that is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nur al-Anwar, the light of all lights. So we put these two contexts together and try to get to the heart of what this hadith is saying. The believer sees with the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what can that mean? Well, what it means is something that is to do with the spirit, to do with the ruh itself. Abu Hussein al-Nuri radiallahu anhu was once asked about the firasatul mutafarrisin. What is its secret? The secret of the firasa, of the insight of the people who have firasa. And he said, it comes from qawlihi ta'ala wa nafakna fihi min ruhina. It comes from Allah's statement, and we breathe into him something of our spirit. There is something within us. This indicates, and it's from the Quran, that is min ruhina, from the divine spirit. And what is that? That's the thing we most want to know. The thing we really crave is self-knowledge. Every other form of knowledge in the world is not quite right unless we know ourselves, but we are not given that. Why? وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you about the spirit. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. The spirit is of the command of your Lord, and of knowledge you have been given only a little. That's something that is of the infinite. And how can we know the infinite? We are finite. But instead we are told, and this is in the Qur'an, and several times in the Qur'an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singles out Adam, and by implication, the Bani Adam, with this presence of the spirit within. We can't define that. It's not in our books of Aqidah, not because it isn't important, not because it isn't in the Qur'an. It is important, it is in the Qur'an, but because this is one of the secrets of the ghaib. And the ulama of Aqidah don't seek to define things that are ultimately beyond the reach of human language. But it's there. And we know it's there not just from these beautiful texts, but because it's in our intuition. It's in our experience of the world. There is a mystery in everything that we see in the world. But the greatest mystery, and the thing that tells us most, is the human face. And, to a lesser extent, human body language. This is human intuition. We can determine extraordinarily subtle things about other people's intentions, about their inner state, about the presence of iman, the presence of kufr, the presence of sincerity, the presence of hypocrisy, the presence of energy, the presence of lassitude, all of those things just by tiny little moderations in the facial expression. Very subtle things. And of all of the animators in companies like Pixar Limited and the Disney animators, the ones who command the highest salaries are the ones who deal with facial expressions. Because that's something of the mystery, the faith, the mirror of the soul. So perhaps we're getting a little bit closer to understanding what this tremendous hadith is telling us. What should we beware of? The firasa of the believer, because he can really see inside. And that is why, in the presence of people of spiritual insight, you should always deal with them on the basis of sincerity and honesty and open-heartedness, and not keep anything back, because you can't treat them. One of the ulama used to say, إِذَا جَالَسْتُمْ أَهْلَ الصِّدْقِ فَجَالِسُوهُمْ بِالصِّدْقِ فَإِنَّهُمْ جَوَاسِيسُ الْقُلُوبِ. When you sit with people who are sincere, then sit with them in sincerity, because they are the spies of the hearts. Somebody who is pure in heart has this firasa. He has this ability to look within and to see something of what's going on inside you. And even somebody who seems to be quite secular, if he's wise and experienced, or she is wise and experienced, they can work you out. They can get you down quite pat, quite quickly through a certain experience. But iman is the thing that really opens that gate. Imam al-Wasati used to say that it's ghaibun ila ghaib. That's firasa. That's the gift that the believer has. It's something unseen. We don't know exactly what it is within us that detects the states of others. It's ghaib. And it sees something that's unseen. The ghaib of other people. But nonetheless, this human empathy at a very deep level is possible. And it's the basis of so much human literature and art, and the basis of the richer aspect of human engagement. When we trust somebody, when we love somebody, when we engage with somebody profoundly, it's through that human faculty,
It's not through anything superficial. And Al-Wasiti goes on to say, فَهُوَ يَشْهَدُ الْأَشْيَاءَ. He sees things. مِنْ حَيْثُ أَشْهَدَهُ الْحَقُّ إِيَّهَا. He sees things in the way that the true God shows them to him. Because the heart that sees is not in a state of destruction or egotistic competition. It really wants to understand, it wants to see the nature of the other, and so there is a certain unveiling that the haq, the truth, gives, and he sees the nature of the other person. And this is one of the mysteries of the life of faith. And it's very common in the lives of the ulama. In fact, one of the most frequent kinds of stories that you'll find in the tabaqat literature of the ulama of just about any discipline is their ability to work people out, to look into their hearts, to see what sort of people they were. This intuition. Jalasa Muhammad ibn al-Hasan wa al-Shafi'i fil Masjid al-Haram. Once Muhammad ibn al-Hasan and Imam al-Shafi'i were sitting together in a Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. Fadakhala rajul, and a man came in. Faqala ibn al-Hasan, atafarrasu annahu haddad. Ibn al-Hasan says, I intuit that he's a blacksmith. And al-Shafi'i says, atafarrasu annahu najjar. My firasa tells me that he's a carpenter. And this is what the ulama do sometimes. They like to share with each other the consequences of their firasa, because it's experiencing Allah's science. فسأله. And so the two of them asked the man who'd come in. فقال, لقد كنت حدادا ولكني اليوم أنجب. I used to be a blacksmith, now I'm a carpenter. If you spend time with the ulama, you will see that kind of wisdom. Somebody comes into the majlis and the sheikh may not even look at them, but when he comes to speak to that person, you can see he really knows a lot about who that person is, where they come from, what they do, what their inner states might be. And that's one of the things to look out for in the majalis of the great ulama of this ummah. That's a kind of outward thing. They're guessing what his profession is. And maybe we, even in our weak outward state, can kind of guess whether somebody works in IT, or somebody is an academic, or somebody is a bus driver. There's some basic perception that we might have, but the ulama have it to a much deeper level. Why? Because their perception, their firasa, their basira, is not weakened or distracted by the tugs of the ego, but it goes straight and it focuses. Their focused basira is what lifts the veil so they can see who people are. And this is one of the gifts of prophecy. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had it in the greatest degree. But even unbelieving people can intuit certain things. They can get a hunch. They can detect that something's about to happen. They can have a bad feeling about something or a positive feeling about something. And so again, in our literature, so often when we talk about or sing about the extraordinary moments before the Ba'atha, the sending of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so many people were seeing signs and expecting things. يَوْمَ تَفَرَّتَ فِيهِ الْفُرْصُ بِأَنَّهُمُ قَدْ أُنذِرُوا بِحُلُولِ الْبُؤْسِ وَالنِّقَمِ. On that day, the Furs, the Persians, and the poet is here playing with the fact that the word Persian, Furs, comes from the same root as Firasa, apparently, detected, intuited that they had been warned of the descent of punishment and retribution, because their tyranny was going to come to an end very soon. So even those people can have a kind of hunch. They can have a supernatural sense that there is something extraordinary going to happen. But in the case of the ulama, and particularly in the case of the anbiya, how pure is their firasa? How pure is their inner vision? There was a wise man, a scholar of Baghdad, called Al-Munadi, Abu Hassan Al-Munadi. And he was very known for the sensitivity of his heart. And people used to hesitate before going in to see him. One day two of the scholars, Danishmand, went along to visit him, and they brought with them an apple as a gift. But when they came in, he became angry and said, "Ma hadhihi al-zulma?" He was an old man, but he said, "What is this darkness that you have brought?" And they were amazed. فَخَرَجَ فَقَالَ مَذَا فَعَلْنَا. And they went out and they said to each other, "What have we done?" Very aware of the importance of keeping right with the heart of the sheikh. فَتَفَكَّرَ. And they thought, and then they said, لَعَلَّنَا لَمْ نُؤَدِّ ثَمَنَ التُّفَّاحِ. Perhaps we didn't actually pay for the apple, and then one of them said, I thought you'd pay for it, the other one said, I thought you paid for it, and they realised what the problem was. And so they went back, and they paid for the apple, they found the chap who'd sold it to them, and then they went back, and Al-Munadi said, هذا عجيب, this is amazing. ما ظننت أن الظلمة تخرج بهذه السرعة. I never thought that darkness could disappear so quickly. أخبراني عن شأنكما. Tell me what happened, tell me about this. Again and again. Read the books of the Tabaqat, the biographies of the scholars, and you see stories like this again and again. The majalis of the kibar, of the great ones, are always extraordinary. Another story. Anas bin Malik, radiallahu anhu, dakhala ala Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. You know Anas bin Malik, one of the scribes of the revelation, a young man, once came in to visit Sayyidina Uthman, radiallahu anhu. And he said, وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ فِي الطَّرِيقِ إِمْرَأَةً تَأَمَّلْتُ مَحَاسِنَهَا. And while coming, I'd seen in the street a woman whose beauty I contemplated. فَدَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِ. So I went in to see Sayyidina Uthman. فقال أيدخل أحدكم علي وأثار الزنا ظاهرة على عيني. Does one of you come in to see me when the signs of zina are visible in his eyes? فقلت أوحي بعد رسول الله. And I said, is there revelation after Allah's messenger? فقال لا ولكن تبصرة وبرهان وفراسة صادقة. And he said, no, but there is perception, and there is evidence, and there is true firasa, there is true spiritual insight. And that's how they work. Another one, called An-Nakhshabi, who was in Central Asia, in Nishapur, used to have an affair with a woman, Fatab, and he repented. And he went one day to see his sheikh, who was Abu Uthman al-Hiri, one of the great ulama of hadith, and a great expert in zuhud, and turning away from the world, focusing only on service to Allah and to his religion. And he went in to see him. وَكَانَ يَوْمَ إِذِي مِنْ خَوَاسِ تَلَامِذِهِ. And at that time he was one of his closest disciples. But during the majlis, تَفَكَّرَ فِي شَأْنِ الْمَرْأَةِ. During the majlis he thought about the woman. فَرَفَعَ أَبُو عُثْمَانٍ رَأْسَهُ وَقَالَ أَمَا تَسْتَحِي. And Abu Uthman raised his head and said, aren't you ashamed? That's what it means. Jawasisul Qulub, the spies of the heart. Some of you might have seen the book by Robert Abdul Haidar, which is partly available on the internet, spyoftheheart.com. You can read the first few chapters and then you have to pay for the rest of the book. And it's about his travels in Afghanistan, and he spent time with the Mujahideen and some of the great scholars and shuyukh of Afghanistan, because it is a country of great scholars and shuyukh, and the extraordinary experiences that he had with some of those people. Jawasisul Qulub, spies of the heart. Now, what this means is that one of the countless gifts that Iman gives to us is the capacity to know what sort of company we are keeping. One of the most important things in religion is to be in the right company. وَالْمَرْءُ يُحْشَرُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبُ. People will be resurrected amongst those whom they loved. So if you loved actors and actresses and pop stars, they will be your company at the resurrection. And if you really love philosophers, then you'll be hanging out with philosophers at the resurrection. And if you really love the ulama and the shuhada and the anbiya, then they will inshallah be your company on the yawm al-qiyamah. يُحْشَرُ الْمَرْءُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبُ. This is a hadith. Man will be resurrected amongst those whom he loved. And how do we gravitate towards the circles of those people whose company is good for us? By activating this gift in the heart, this capacity to see who is well-intentioned, who is pure, who is sincere, who is humble, and to avoid those people who are always talking about themselves, praising themselves, showing off, looking in the mirror, constantly checking themselves out to see how the khala'iq, other creatures, might be looking at them. That's where the darkness is. And we always have that choice, because in life we go past thousands of other souls. like little stars that we can barely detect that move past us as we travel through time and space. There's other souls out there, in each of which there is some mystery of وَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا. We breathed into him something of our spirit. The world is darkness, but there are these star-like constellations coming together, separating. And we need to acquire the ability to detect those ones which are pure and are shining with Allah's light, so that we can keep their company. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always to give us the company of good people, people of pure heart, so that we might be resurrected in the company of the Salihin in the next world. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم، أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، فقال جل ثناؤه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.